Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Kids, listen to your mother.
Mom.
Welcome to Between Us Moms with Katie Crafts-Morg and Hallie Stevens-Drake.
Hey, mamas, and welcome to Between Us Moms. We're so glad that you're here to spend 30 minutes with us. I think we should just dive right in. So, Hallie, hit us with your Cliff Notes.
I have a three-parter, none of which is related, but there are three updates since we last spoke.
Okay.
The first one is Toy Story is fucking up my life.
Why? Because it's so sad or because the last one is so sad? I don't want no spoiler alert.
I mean, if you haven't seen Toy Story 4 by now, like, I think that's on you. It's fine to ruin it. Yes, that is so sad. But here's what the thing is. I'm a minimalist. Being a mother has really challenged my OCD. You know, having shit everywhere is really triggering to me, but I've let it go because I want my child to have a great childhood. But Andrew and I are really intense about purging. So when a toy no longer serves her, or when, you know, she's kind of outgrown a toy, we either donate it or we put it in storage. Here's the thing. Dylan has started to love Toy Story. We haven't watched a lot of movies with her. In fact, that's the only one we've watched with her because we are still trying to limit screen time. But we've been watching Toy Story 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Ooh.
And now I have this really irrational feeling about getting rid of toys as if these toys have feelings. And it's fucking my shit up because I'm like, I don't want to keep this. It's a piece of crap toy, or she doesn't love it anymore. And I know there's some child who will, but I am like, what if this toy has feelings? And I go and I take this toy to Goodwill, and then this toy's in Goodwill and is like sad because Dylan no longer loves it.
Well, here's the good news is you have another child coming in a few weeks.
I know.
So storage is a great option, and your other child will be able to love on that toy, and it buys you a couple of years before you have to go through this.
I need therapy though? Like, is this not, I need some other moms to please swoop into my DMs and tell me that this is not unique to me. 'Cause I feel crazy. I know these toys don't have feelings, but I feel like they do. And it's because I'm watching so much Toy Story.
I'm actually surprised that of all the people, you're the one feeling this way, because I've never met a more organized, clean person who like your closet is always immaculate. Like, you just throw stuff away when you don't wear it anymore.
I have no sentimental value.
It's incredible to me. And I aspire to be more like you. And so I'm actually shocked that this is a dilemma that you're having, but
yeah, the dilemma is right. It is stressful, but you actually bring me to my next point. Baby number two is now less than 2 months away, and we've been so busy getting our house together just from our move and doing all this renovating that it dawned on me that we have not at all prepared for this child. And I am feeling so much anxiety. I'm like, I gotta pack my hospital bag. I've got to wash all these rags and get my pump parts ready to go and reach out to insurance and get a new pump. And like all these things I just have not even begun to think of. Cause I was like, oh, we had a baby. We know what we're doing. And I'm like, maybe I should freshen up on like, I don't know. How do you take care of a newborn? Cause I don't remember. I'm in toddler land. So I'm like kind of freaking out a little bit.
I'm right there with you, although you're ahead of me, but my sister is, I think you guys have the same due date. And so she's all this way too. She just finally reached out to insurance, got a new pump. And I was like, why are you getting a new pump? We have pumps. And she's like, yeah, but insurance gives you them for every baby. So now I'll have two. So it makes the cleaning of the parts easier. I'm like, genius. Yes. Like, I didn't even think about that.
Also, pumps don't really last that long. Like the valves, people don't talk about this enough, how they give us these shit quality products that actually are very expensive. Like I have that Willow pump that goes in your bra. My mom gave it to me. Costs a fortune. Mm-hmm. The valves, you have to replace those all the time because if you don't, you don't get as much milk. You just don't.
Isn't that unfair?
Yes. Make a better product, please.
You're spending. So we have the LV. I have the LV. And same thing. I remember even with the first pump that I had, having to order more pump parts. Yes. And the nipple size. I had to go and order these little, like, I forget what they're called now, but these little things to fit my little itty bitty nipples.
Flanges or something?
Flanges, yes. Because the ones that they come with, you know, it's not a one size fits all, although they think it is. But guess what? People have different nipple sizes and mine are not.
And it matters.
Yes. Because I was pumping and I was like, why aren't I getting that much milk? And then finally someone was like, have you checked the flange size? And they're like, oh, that's why. And then I ordered these stupid little plastic things on Amazon. But then you have to like wash the flanges. You have to stick them in. It's a pain in the ass to get them out. Anyways, good for you for being on top of all this now.
Is it good for me? Because I'm like terrified she's going to come early and we're just going to have like, I'm like, we got to get the car seat. I'm like, I know I'm going a little bit.
You're not.
Type A. On this, but I just feel like we were really prepared for Dylan because we had nothing else going on. We were working from home, living our best chill lives, no toddler to take care of. And now it's like we've been redoing this house for what feels like an eternity. And so all my energy has gone into that and keeping my child alive. And now I'm like, holy crap, the countdown is on. So if you don't see me for a couple of days, couple of weeks, it's because I'm in preparation land. But the other weird thing,
yes,
is do you remember where your placenta was? Was it in the front or the back with Kaya?
So it was posterior.
Okay, so it was in the back.
Mm-hmm.
That's how mine was with Dylan. And when your placenta is in the back, you can feel the baby movement a lot more from the outside.
Oh. So,
because there's no barrier between the baby and, you know, your belly.
Right.
So I would feel Dylan, she had hiccups every single day. You could see them. Andrew could feel her like at any given time in the day. This time around, my placenta is in the front. So there's kind of like this added barrier.
Is it called anterior?
I think so. That sounds right.
Okay.
All I know is it's not covering my cervix, which is good news because if it covers your cervix. Yeah. Oh, look at you and all the terminology.
Well, I've gone down many a rabbit holes.
You're the ultimate researcher. But yes, I have the anterior or whatever it is. And so I can feel this baby all the time, but Andrew can't. And it makes me sort of sad because I'm like, I want you to be able to feel this. This is the last time we're doing this. Like, I want us to be in it and feel all the feels and whatever, literally.
Order a Doppler.
I know, but we're so close to the end now that I'm like,
okay.
So anyway, she was having the hiccups and I'm pretty sure that her head is already down. Because I was feeling her hiccups in my butt.
Oh.
I was like, Andrew, do you want to try and feel this? Like, so we had one of the more weird moments of our relationship. It will go down as a memorable moment where he put his hands in my butt crack and was able to feel her hiccups. So,
oh my gosh. So he actually could feel them.
Yep.
Through your butt crack.
Yeah. So
I never even knew that that was a thing that could happen, but
here we are.
Also, we're going to find out where our placenta is in about a week when we go in for our big, like the 20-week scan.
Do you have any sense of where it is?
So when we first went in, he said it was, it looked like it was in the back, but it was a little bit lower, but usually it rises or something. I don't even know. And he's like, so we'll have a better sense, you know, when you come back. And I was like, okay. So honestly, I don't know. I'm feeling some like wishes and like quickenings, yeah. I guess they call it. But no kicks yet. So I'm like so anxious for this scan. Just to find out all the things. And also our pregnancy is a little bit high risk because they're so close together. And I want to know what's going on inside. I want to get one. Yeah.
I know.
My brain is going all sorts of places. So
it is crazy how, as those appointments approach, the anxiety that builds up each time. I know. I feel you, especially the 20 week. Cause it's such a
big one. And my mind, like, I don't know why it feels like it's so close. And the last few weeks, I haven't even really, like, it's on my mind, but I haven't been, you know, counting down the days. And now I'm like, okay, we're almost there. We're almost there. We're almost there. And
there's a peace of mind that comes after that one.
There really is. So,
got this.
We both got this. I mean,
yeah,
your little one is coming very soon.
Oh God.
Very exciting.
I just clenched my butthole so tight. I'm so anxious. We drink every time I say butthole on this podcast.
Yeah. This is a big butt episode.
Yeah. So what do you have this week?
Okay. So my mama heart broke a little bit and I want to get into that, but really fast. If you guys haven't watched The Valley, watch it. Better than Vanderpump Rules. I am obsessed. I am fully in. That's all. Okay.
I agree. It's so good for good. This season.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I doubted it at first. I was like, I'm not watching this garbage, and I am fully invested in this garbage. So watch The Valley. Okay. My mama heart broke because Kaya sucks on her fingers. Like, yeah. Crazy, like not the thumb, not one finger, but these two left fingers, I guess your middle finger and like your ring finger is what she sucks on. And I'm looking at her on the monitor right now. It's her nap time. And those fingers are in her mouth as we speak.
Oh,
she sucks so hard that she got a blister on her finger somehow. I cannot figure it out. My mind is like, how did this happen? And it just wasn't going away. And it like filled with like pus kind of. And so I was Googling, going down these rabbit holes, and they're like, if it like fills with pus, go to the pediatrician. So I call the pediatrician. I'm like, I don't even know how to like explain what has happened here. Can I come in and have somebody look at it? And our normal pediatrician like wasn't available that day, but there's like a bunch of doctors at the practice. So We go in, I take her in, and he's like, oh, interesting. He's like, yeah. He's like, it kind of looks like a burn. And I was like, a burn? I was like, she doesn't even come near the stove. Like, she's a baby. And so I'm like trying to rack my head. I'm like, well, maybe when we went out to dinner on Wednesday, did she like touch something hot? But I'm very quick to like, when they put something down in front of the baby, move it right away, right? And I also think that should be common practice for waiters is like, don't put plates in front of a baby. Anyways, I think it's from her sucking her fingers. He says it's possible. We couldn't really figure it out. He's like, but I do need to pop it. My God. I don't know why, like tears filled my eyes. And he's like, I'm going to put iodine. I don't know. He's going to put something on her hand. And then he gave her something to hold in her other hand. And I was just holding her. And he just like took this little needle and Kaya didn't even flinch. Like, I don't know if he like, I honestly don't really know how that's possible. Or maybe it was just so risen above the skin that she couldn't feel it. Anyways, popped it. And I feel like this should be not allowed because when I Googled stuff, it said, don't put Band-Aids on your baby's fingers because it could be a choking hazard. So he's like, okay, so I'm going to like clean it now with hydrogen peroxide and then I'm going to put some Neosporin on it and I'm going to put a little Band-Aid on it. And that's kind of how you'll care for it for the next few days or whatever. And I was like, okay. I was like, just to let you know, she always sucks these fingers. She's probably going to suck this Band-Aid right off because I know my daughter.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you want to get it on there really tight. I'm like, okay. In my mind, this is not going to work. So he puts the Band-Aid on. As we're on our way out, you know, I pay the copay. We're on our way out. I'm holding her, sucks the Band-Aid right off. I'm like, okay. So I go back.
That didn't take long.
Yeah. I go back in. I'm like, hi. She already took the Band-Aid off. Could you put another one on? Puts another one on. And on the way down again, pulls it off with her hand. I'm like, okay. So I go back. I'm like, could I just have a few of those Band-Aids? Because I'm not going to have time to go get kids' Band-Aids right now.
Yeah.
On my way, like I'm going to be in the car for a little bit. And they're like, yeah, of course. And they put another one on. I'm going to meet my mom. Sorry, this is a really long-winded story. I apologize.
I'm here for it.
I go to meet my mom in the car. She sucks it off. Oh, I take her sock off and I cover her hand. I'm like, I'm so smart. I put it on. She pulls off the sock and then proceeds to suck the Band-Aid off. I hear her in the back, like choking a little bit. She's like, I'm like, oh my God, this is my worst nightmare. I literally have to pull the car over. I look in her mouth. The Band-Aid is fully in her mouth. She's crying. I'm trying to get it out, but she's upset. Like she hates when I put things in her mouth. Crying. I finally get it out. I'm in like such a like emotional, like anxious, stressed out state. I'm calling Jason at work. I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's like, get sports tape. I'm like, what is that going to freaking do? This girl just, she doesn't like things on her hands. Like that's her safe place is her hands. So finally go get to meet my mom. It's like 2 minutes away from that point. Does the same thing. I'm calling my mom. I'm like, can you please come help me? I'm having a conniption fit here in the car. She comes over. She takes Kaya. We get the Band-Aid out of the mouth because I'd put another one. I was like, no more Band-Aids. Like we're not putting anything on this girl's hand. I'll put the sock over her hand. We'll keep her occupied, keep her busy. All that to say, we ended up peeling, like it finally, the skin peeled over the Band-Aid or over her skin, like a healing thing.
Yeah.
And so Jason basically like ripped the dead skin off yesterday. We've been like hydrogen peroxiding it, warm soap and water, and then like drying it. But like we will hold her hand in a paper towel until it's like dry and I like blow on it a little bit, which she thinks is so funny. She like giggles when I do it. So now it's finally healed. But part two of the story is after the pediatrician, I think she was so tired, this poor girl. She always stands up on her coffee table. Like she uses it to prop herself up. It's just not a dangerous, like doesn't have any sharp edges, but there is hardware that latches it closed. She usually just like stands up and she's fine around it. So I didn't even think anything of it. I think she was so spent and so tired after it's a big day out for her and it's scary. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So she fell down. Bonked her little like cheekbone on the hardware, rolled over when she fell. I'm like sitting right there with her too. And she just, I don't know, it all happened so fast. And then she's like crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And she's usually fine within like 2 minutes after crying and I calm her down. But anyways, all that to say, my poor mama. Part really went through the ringer this week. Kaya is fine.
Yeah. The truth is it's harder on you than it is on her. She has no memory of it. Like they recover so fast.
I know.
But there's something that happens when your kid is hurt that makes you feel like you're failing or something.
Yes. And I was like, God, already her finger. And now this happened to her. And I'm just the worst. And
no.
I had to, you know, text my sister-in-law and my sister and my mom. And they're like, do you know how many bumps and bruises our children have gotten, like you have seen it happen most of the time. Like they bang into things, they fall down. It's just what happens. But it was like her first real, like, you know, fall down, and there was a big repercussion of that. And so she had a little cut on her face. It's almost all healed, but it's just been, it was really hard.
Oh, and you can't take the edge off with a glass of wine. That's
no, I've never wanted wine more. I say that to Jason all the time. Like, I've never wanted wine more than at the end of the night.
I know.
When she's gone to bed and I know she's safe, and I just want a glass of wine with my husband. Yeah, the exhale.
So, I know. Ugh. The valley and a glass of wine. It'll be here before you know it.
Soon. Yeah, very soon.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I feel for you, girl.
Anyways, that's the situation. Should we jump into the tea?
The tea? Yeah, I think we should. This one is interesting. Shakira was on the cover of Allure magazine, and they asked her about the Barbie movie, which I don't know how it came up in conversation, but it did. And turns out she's not really a fan, and the reason why has really taken off and people are talking about it a lot online. She says that her sons, quote, absolutely hated it. They felt it was emasculating. And I agree to a certain extent. I'm raising two boys. I want them to feel powerful too, while respecting women. I like pop culture when it attempts to empower women without robbing men of their possibility to be men, to also protect and provide. I believe in giving women all the tools and the trust that we can do it all without losing our essence, without losing our femininity. And she said, I think that men have a purpose in society and women have another purpose as well. We complement each other, and that complement should not be lost. She has two sons with her ex-partner, Gerard Piqué, Milan 11, and Sasha, who is 9. So Katie, what do you think about this?
I feel, and I felt this way about the Oscars too, that they have completely missed the point of Barbie. And a little bit, it hurts my soul because you're raising two men. And I think you're missing the point in what that movie was saying about women. And the same thing with the Oscars, right? Like, what an effing slap in the face to nominate the guy who played Ken and not the woman who played Barbie or the woman who directed the Barbie movie.
Right.
Why give Ken the platform? And I'm so happy, you know, don't get me wrong, I loved his performance at the Oscars. But it just felt like a little bit of a slap in the face. Like, you're just missing the point. Am I wrong?
No, I agree. I completely agree. I see her point. Like, I can see where she's coming from. But I think there's something to explaining that it is a commentary on, it's like an exaggeration,
society,
hyperbole of society, you know?
And why this even needed to be demonstrated in film in this way, because there is an issue.
Right.
And this movie is just trying to spotlight or showcase the issue.
Right.
That's all it's trying to do, just so you can better act as a gentleman in society. And right. so that there is more equality. And so that I just think looking at it as like a feminist take and like it's taken away from the male, you know, life, I just think that that's like the wrong way to look at it.
I do too. And I think as a mom to boys, the conversation you can have after seeing that movie is so important. If they're saying they hate it, ask
and that
them
it's
why.
Demasculating or emasculating.
Yeah.
Why
ask
did
them
they,
why?
Yeah. And maybe say, I hear you, but here's why it's not. And here's why it's important. And right. have that conversation, especially for someone like Shakira. Like, we all know what, all the stuff that she's been through. It's like, what a great moment, teachable moment.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
And she's such a strong, I mean, didn't she go to Harvard or Stanford or Yale? She's an Ivy League student. She looks like that. She's powerful and successful. Like, she's this really... You know, these boys are very, very fortunate to have her as a mom, as an example of what womanhood can really be. And, you know, I do, like, I don't think that what she said is wrong, because it is emasculating. But again, I think it's just a very zoomed in approach
right.
at looking at this, instead of zooming out and seeing what the actual purpose of this film was.
Right. It's yeah. It serves such a greater, it sends such a strong message through, yes, comedy and pink sets and wild costumes and song, right. but there's an important message there. And that's why it was the biggest hit of the box office last year. That's why there was so much talk about it and so much chatter about it. And so I found it disappointing that she would say that yeah. on such a big platform. Yeah. All
Me
right.
too.
Moving on to Kristen Cavallari. She revealed on this week's episode of her Let's Be Honest podcast that she would be open to having a baby with her 24-year-old TikToker boyfriend, Montana Boys star Mark Estes. She said, quote, "The one thing that I'm not actively thinking about, but it's definitely on the back of my mind is, you know, he wants to have a kid. So, you know, I'm mulling it over. All of my kids are like, yes, do it. My biggest thing is like Sailor, my youngest, is 8. The thought of going back and starting all over again is like, that's a lot, man." She said, "If he ends up being the one, I would have a kid. It's become pretty serious, this relationship, I would say. By the way, it's because I wouldn't want to rob him of that. Like, he should have kids in his life." She said he would be a hands-on father, and then clarified it probably wouldn't happen for a while. They've only been together for a couple of months. And then she said, "But when you know, you know."
Wow.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. But you know what? Here's what I'll say. I think everyone has an opinion about their relationship. I think it's great that they're having these conversations, because he's 24 and it is important that they have them. How old is she? 37?
She's 37, yeah.
It's important that they're having these conversations, because if they aren't on the same page, you know, it's just one of those things they should talk about and talk about it early and get on the same page, because if that is important to him, that's a decision she has to make.
Right.
So I do, when she said her youngest is 8 years old, I've got to say, when the baby making shop closes up for me, it is closed. Like, in 2 months, I am done for business. Baby making season is over. I can't imagine going 8 years and then doing it all over again.
Well, and even That's like wild. You said earlier, you forget and you only have a 2-year-old.
Crazy.
I don't know. It's like your daughter's going to be 2 and this baby's born. So there's a 2-year gap and you've already forgotten what it's like to have a newborn. And so yeah. I just think, yeah.
Wild.
I'm with you. I'm glad they're having these conversations. I think it's important to have the conversations early. I remember Jason and I, it's so funny, I brought it up this week. I was like, I actually remember the time we first talked about having kids, and we were in my apartment, we were watching a show. And I do think it's a really important thing to discuss. And after a couple of months, seems like a good time, if things feel serious, to bring that up. But I also wonder with her, I always wonder this with her, how much of what she says is for shock value and how much of what she does is for shock value. And I love her for it because I'm fully entertained and I'm fully here for it.
Yeah.
And how much of this is actually, do you think this person is the one? And is this person going to also father your fourth child? And, you know, good for her if that's where she sees things going. I just don't know if I fully believe it yet.
Yeah, we've talked about this, right?
There's just such a big age gap. And I understand it can work and I understand it has worked for people. But at some point, you just are into different things. Like a 24-year-old boy, man,
yeah,
has a lot of life to live before he gets to 37.
Like, I will say, I agree. And I think that this whole conversation she's having on her podcast really surprised me, because when I looked at it, when she first said, like, he makes me happy, I was like, good for you. Like, you know, have your fun, have some good 24-year-old sex, like, live your life, sis, you deserve it. I did not expect her to say, I'm thinking about having his babies.
Right. Mulling it over. All that to say, I'm glad that she clarified it wouldn't happen for a while. I do wonder, and we talk about this a lot. We talked about it with our guest last week, is like having children older is also a whole thing, right? Like, she's 37. It's going to be harder to have children. So I also wonder if they've had conversations about that. Like, has she frozen additional eggs?
Yeah.
Is just something to think about. It can happen, of course, but
yeah,
you know, things do get trickier the older you get.
Watch them be the Hollywood couple to make it and shock us all.
I would love to see it. We love happiness. Yeah. We love, love. So if it's real, I hope they go the distance.
Yep. And while we wait to see if that 1 week is our OMG, a pregnancy announcement, this week's OMG of the week goes to Jillian Anderson.
Oh my God.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
She sat down with the Today Show and she recalled returning to work on The X-Files 10 days after her oldest child was born in 1994. She had a C-section and she returned to work. She has several children. She has three, but she said, if I didn't feel so guilty that I got pregnant in the first season, I might have taken better care of myself and been more thoughtful about what I needed for my best interest at the time. But I think I was so wrapped up in, I almost got fired. I'll mess this up. I'll do whatever they say. So yeah, 10 days after a C-section, but we're still talking about it, right? It's interesting, whatever it was 30 years ago. Crazy. Katie, you had a C-section. Can you even imagine?
It's unfathomable to me. Mm. you are in, at least I was in so much pain for those first few weeks. Afterwards, I was having hot pads and cold pads, and you're on pain medicine, and you're also trying to adjust and learn how to take care of a newborn. There's just so much going on that I cannot imagine going back to work. And mind you, a set, like those hours are insane. You're also working when you're not at work because you're studying lines. Like, I just can't even imagine what that must have been like. And also, you're not even cleared, really, especially after a C-section. That's why they give you longer, at least here in California, in terms of disability. For a number of weeks, I think they give you 8 weeks because that's how long it takes to fully, they say fully recover, but really it takes much longer than that. And so, yeah, going back to work, that makes me really say OMG, because your body has just gone through such a traumatic surgery experience. They cut through, I think, 7 layers of skin. They take your organs out.
No, thanks.
It's really... You know, when people say a C-section is the easy way out, I fully disagree. It is so hard. And also what she said about she felt guilty.
That's right. That's the thing that stands out to me.
And so many people feel that way. They feel guilty having, like, growing your family. And I think that's a really big issue on businesses and companies, that we all feel that way. And that it's even a conversation of like, yeah, I think I want to have a kid. And everyone is always like, oh, but didn't you just start your job?
Right.
Like, who effing cares? It should be how exciting for you.
I hear that. And also, like, I felt that. And it was not the company that made me feel that way. I think it's just something that is inherently in us to feel guilty that we may not be performing at 100%, or that we're going to have to dip out for a little bit. And something has to change in the conversation, in the greater narrative, or something to help us women feel more empowered to start our families and to start them when we want to, and to not feel like we have to wait until we're in our mid-30s to do it because the biological clock is ticking and we now have run out of time. Like, I feel like I didn't start my family because I was always focused on the career. And then I got to a point where I was like, if I don't do it now, it may not happen. So just doing it, you know?
I know.
It's so common, but it's crazy.
There really does need to be a shift in that conversation and in the perception. I totally agree. Okay. Mama we love this week. It's two mamas we love. Mm. The story is so cute. Toni Wells and Beth Thomas, they've been best friends since 1985. Couldn't believe their luck when they got pregnant at the same time in 1994. Beth first gave birth to a son named Luke, and then 4 months later, Toni welcomed a daughter, Ashley. And then I guess they told Today.com, quote, "We talked about them getting married from day one." That's the dream, right? We've talked about this, like, anyways, as fate would have it, Beth and Toni's wish came true 4 years ago. Their children tied the knot, and it gets even better. Ashley and Luke are now expecting their first child this summer.
It's so cute.
I love this story. I love that they're best friends, and now their kids are together. Now they get to be grandmas together. How sweet.
The literal best. We had Helena York on the podcast last week. When she told me she was pregnant with a son, you know, we were pregnant at the same time. I was like, I want them to get married. I'm having a girl. I didn't know until she was born, but I was like, I want my daughter to marry your son. I may have also tried to get a few other friends who have sons to marry my daughter. I'm just, hedging my bets. I'm putting my
options
in all. But how fun. You do holidays together. You do life together so intimately and closely. And like, the fear is real of having in-laws that you just don't like. So this is the dream scenario.
Yeah. We've talked about it. So we have friends and their son is, I think, 9 months older than Kaya. And I'm like, this would be so great. They've met. They're so sweet together. And then same thing. So Jason's best friend from childhood has a 5-year-old son. Like, I've just always adored him. He has such like sweet mannerisms about him. And Jason and I are 5 years apart. I'm like, they could be me and Jason. It could just be Kaya and Jude. And it's the dream.
It's the dream. My sister married my husband's best friend, and I thought that was great. This trumps that. this is.
Yeah. Well, because you get to do life forever great. Together. You get to be, you know, grandparents together.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you guys so much and that you keep coming back and you spend 30 minutes with us when you can be anywhere else doing anything else, taking a nap, getting a manicure, whatever. We love you and we're grateful. And like we always like to say, motherhood is a sisterhood.